In today's news headlines, the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for President Donald Trump's Supreme Court appointee began Monday, and Judge Amy Coney Barrett faced questioning from lawmakers in both major parties. The 4 days of questioning are part of a warp speed confirmation process for a Supreme Court nominee that is taking place even as voters are casting ballots in an election that began, an unprecedented combination of events in modern times. Among the most critical issues at stake are whether Barrett would rule on an election-related suit as a newly seated justice. In his opening statement on Monday, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal said, "Your participation in any case involving Donald Trump's election would immediately do explosive, enduring harm to the court's legitimacy and to your own credibility. You must recuse yourself." Perhaps the most controversial aspect of a future Supreme Court Justice Barrett would be whether she would vote to strike down the seminal abortion ruling Roe v. Wade. When asked by Senator Feinstein, Barrett refused to take a position on the issue.
"Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe was wrongly decided?"
"Senator, I completely understand why you are asking the question, but again, I can't pre-commit or say yes, I'm going in with some agenda."
While the hearing was being held, Democratic Senator Gary Peters of Michigan gave an interview to Elle magazine, sharing the story of how his ex-wife's abortion saved her life. In a case where a pregnancy was wanted but became non-viable and threatened the life of the mother, the hospital in question said they recommended abortion but were prohibited from conducting one. Peters' then-wife had to be rushed to another hospital and survived because of the abortion. Senator Peters becomes perhaps the first male lawmaker to openly share a story of abortion. Outside the Senate building where Barrett's hearings are being held, dueling protests took place by anti- and pro-abortion groups.
"Roe v. Wade has got to go! Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Roe v. Wade has got to go! Hey, hey! Ho, ho!
Let the people decide! Let the people decide! Let the people decide!"
Another major issue at stake that Democratic senators have repeatedly raised during the hearings is the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Like she has done on all other issues, when asked, Barrett would not say what position she would take on the health care law. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse raised the so-called dark money forces behind Barrett's nomination.
"I've never seen this around any court that I've ever been involved with, where there's this much dark money and this much influence being used. Here's how the Washington Post summed it up. This is a conservative activist behind-the-scenes campaign to remake the nation's courts, and it's a $250 million dark money operation." $250 million is a lot of money to spend if you're not getting anything for it.
That's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse during Tuesday's hearings for Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation. Meanwhile, the government watchdog group Accountability.us has just released a new report showing how Barrett has consistently sided with corporations during her time as a federal judge and ruled against workers, immigrants, and consumers. Meanwhile, Republican senators have not seen fit to debate or vote on desperately needed coronavirus economic relief bills and are racing through Barrett's nomination only 4 years after denying President Obama the right to appoint an election year nominee. GOP Senator Mike Lee, who just days ago tested positive for the coronavirus, appeared in person at the hearing and was not even wearing a mask to protect his colleagues from his viral-laden respiration. And President Trump resumed his public events despite being hospitalized for COVID-19 only a week ago at a crowded rally in Sanford, Florida, where there were few masks worn by rally goers. Trump spoke for more than an hour and claimed he was in perfect health and wanted to kiss everyone.
"I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss."
That's President Trump at a crowded political rally in Sanford, Florida, merely a week after being discharged from Walter Reed Hospital. Also at the rally was Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who showed up in support of Trump wearing no mask and was seen high-fiving many rally goers before touching his hand to his nose. The White House physician Dr. Sean Conley announced on Monday that Trump tested negative for COVID-19 on consecutive days, but did not mention which days. He also says Trump is no longer infectious. As to whether he is now immune for the disease, as he has claimed, is not clear, especially given that there are known cases of reinfection. The number of COVID infections in the U.S. has now neared a whopping 8 million with only 3 weeks before the election. A new study published in the Journal of American Medical Association shows 20% excess deaths in the U.S. this year compared to previous years, largely attributable to COVID-19. And the pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson has just announced a halt to its COVID-19 vaccine trial, saying that a volunteer participating in the study has developed an unexplained illness. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, who has taken great precautions while campaigning, is in Florida on Tuesday, while Trump heads to Pennsylvania. When asked about the possibility of Democrats adding more seats to the Supreme Court if Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, Biden said he was, quote, not a fan of the idea. Voters are already casting ballots in several states, including Georgia, where early voting began on Monday. There were reportedly long lines in Atlanta and the surrounding suburbs as a historically high turnout stymied election officials. The U.S. Elections Project has reported that voters have already cast more than 10 million votes across the nation. In comparison, 4 years ago, at around the same time, early voting in the presidential race had resulted in about 1.4 million ballots being cast. Much of the early voting is being fueled by mail-in balloting, which state election officials have relied on as the pandemic rages. Trump and Republicans have railed against mail-in voting, claiming without evidence that there is rampant voter fraud. In California, it appears that the GOP is engaged in what appears to be election fraud. The state Republican Party has installed its own drop boxes that look official and have attempted to pass them as state-sanctioned boxes to collect mail-in ballots. The California State Secretary has demanded the party stop, but the GOP has refused. And in Texas, a federal appeals court has just affirmed Governor Greg Abbott's decision to install only one ballot drop box per county in a geographically vast state. A new poll finds that three-quarters of American voters want Congress to pass a new COVID economic relief bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who faces re-election, has simply refused to take up the legislation passed by the House. In a debate with his rival Amy McGrath, McConnell smirked loudly as she called him out on his inaction.
The House passed a bill in May, and the Senate went on vacation. I mean, you just don't do that. You negotiate. Senator, it is a national crisis.
That's Democratic Senate candidate Amy McGrath calling Senator McConnell out on his inaction over economic relief at a time when millions of Americans are financially struggling, as McConnell simply chuckled loudly. Meanwhile, Trump's Labor Department has been found to close out more than half of all worker complaints related to coronavirus violations without even investigating them. And a federal judge has chastised the Trump administration over its withholding of economic stimulus checks from incarcerated individuals. And that does it for our news headlines.